Radio Dil, Political Beat. One of the most important elections of our times is here, and we have Shuvra Das with us here. He's a poet, a street photographer, and a professor of mechanical engineering in Michigan, and has been here since 1994. Hello, Shuvra.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Pretty good.
Good.
I was wondering, you know, with Southeast Asian diaspora, I've noticed most stay away from politics here in America. Why do you think it is important to be actively involved in, if not politics, but at least to take part in elections? And that is very necessary.
Yeah, you know, I'm here to to encourage South Asians or the Desi folks just like us to take more interest and vote in this particular election and in all future elections also. The reason being that, you know, we are significant populations in many of the states, and, you know, especially in the coast and Midwest where I live, the South Asian population is a significant number. And in this particular year's midterm election, the U.S. House could be decided by a handful of votes in some key districts. Many of the even the statewide elections could be decided by a small number of statewide votes. Just if you may recall, in 2020, Biden won both Georgia and Arizona by about 10,000 votes. And Trump won Michigan in 2016 by about the same number. So our votes will be very, very important this year for that reason. And also, you know, I can talk a little more, you know, after we have a little conversation mm-hmm. about how voting or not voting affects our lives, you know, as South Asians who live in the United States.
Go ahead. It looks like you are very, very well versed into politics and feel passionate about it. So I'm not going to say anything. Just keep on going. You're doing a good
okay.
job.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, I'm this particular year, you know, I am particularly concerned as a parent and as a South Asian about the world that we are going to leave for the next generation. And I have a daughter who is in her mid-20s, and she is just about starting her career. And she right now, you know, after the Roe v. Wade has been overturned by the Supreme Court, she right now has less rights than women in the U.S. have enjoyed for over 50 years. And if you watch news or if you are aware of what is happening around the country, already there are many news stories coming out from across the country about women's lives being put in danger because their doctors are prohibited to perform life-saving procedure.
And they're afraid of doing it.
Yes, they're afraid because they are afraid of lawsuits or even going to jail because, you know, all these laws in different states are kicking in because Roe v. Wade has been overturned.
True. Do you think it can get worse?
Yes. Absolutely. You know, this is this kind of blanket infringement on the rights of over half the population is a very scary development. You know, women are actually in this country, women are more than half the population. And the Republicans are out there to take away this core right from women. And if they win control of Congress in November, the first thing they will do is pass laws restricting reproductive rights for women even further. You know, if you listen to Senator Lindsey Graham, who recently announced that the Republicans will pass a national ban if they win majority in Congress. And many Republican candidates are already talking about jailing women and punishing their reproductive care providers. Even, you know, Texas has this very, very stringent law that, you know, they could even punish the people such as an Uber driver or somebody who is transporting women to these reproductive care facilities. Wow. So it is extremely, extremely scary.
Interesting thing about you, Shuvra, is you are a poet and a photographer and an engineer. So you are almost like a scientist who is an artist. So, and that fascinates me, which also gets me to this point. Besides reproductive rights, what else, when it comes to our social life in America, can get affected if Republicans win?
Yes, you know, I would say that list is rather long, and it keeps getting longer every day the more you delve into things. You know, for example, one of the things that people are not hearing too much, but the Republicans have announced, Senator Rick Scott and other senators, that if they win a majority in Congress, they will put Social Security and Medicare on the chopping block, which means they will discontinue the Social Security or cut down Social Security and Medicare. And this is in contrast to Democrats, for whom protecting Social Security and Medicare is a priority. So think about this. You know, I was talking about the younger generation, people who are our children, but now you think of people like us who are closer to retirement or even thinking about or planning retirement, and you are about to, the Republican Party is about to basically take away this sort of lifeblood for almost everyone in the society. It affects like Medicare and Social Security is going to affect like almost pretty much everyone in the society. So that's a very, very scary picture.
Right. And up to, I think, President Ronald Reagan, Republican Party wasn't like this, was it?
No, they were very different. They were very different, but, you know, somehow, you know, starting in the mid-1990s and after even maybe in the latter part of George W. Bush's presidency, they started to change. And if you remember the last 10 years or the last 15 years, they are pretty much on a rampage, and they're trying to take away things from people. So this is you know, a very scary trend, that if you, you know, one of the biggest fights was about Obamacare. For about 10 years, the Republicans were trying to repeal Obamacare, or, you know, they were trying to repeal it in Congress. They were trying to repeal, you know, go to the courts and fight it in the courts. And they almost succeeded. They failed because of that one vote by John McCain.
Right. And also, not only reproductive rights, I think it's the gun violence, the same-sex marriage. And I mean, there are many other social issues that are really, really hitting home, especially for us minorities. Tell me more about that.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'm very concerned with you know, the rights of minorities and the rights of, I work with a lot of young people. You know, all my students are mostly like 18, 19, 20 year old. And, you know, many of them are busy with their lives, starting their lives, and they're, you know, they're wide eyed and, you know, with a lot of dreams. And sometimes they don't realize that under Republicans, they will probably lose the right over their bodies. The LGBTQ plus kids will be actively discriminated against. The climate as we know it could be destroyed. The gun violence could increase, and voting access could be restricted even more. And, you know, if you look at today's young population, that cannot be any more diverse. In this country, you know, young population, you know, I marvel at the young people because of the clarity of their views. They are much more welcoming of each other. They're much more, you know, accepting of each other. And you know, to them, you know, the color of the skin and the origin are of less important than older generation. And, you know, what makes me sad is that, you know, this older people, the politicians of today, are trying to take away rights from these people who are socially a lot more liberal, and they are trying to make the world a much better place. And we are destroying things for them. And, you know, not only these rights, but also, you know, the environment. I mean, you know, the Republicans don't even believe in climate change, in spite of the fact that all these major climatic events are indicators that things are changing, you know, in a very fast pace.
Right. And but the thing, again, Shubhra, is why do you think right is leaning so towards the right? I mean, what are they afraid of? Why would they want so much control?
I think you know, they are, you know, it probably goes back to this idea of patriarchy and control and, you know, supremacy and, you know, white supremacy in some, you know, nasty sense. So I'm not talking as much as white people against the color people. It's more of the institutional power base was in the hands of the majority. You know, they would once in a while, the minority people would get something out of it. I think they're looking at, the Republican Party is looking at a future not too far away because of demographics, that this country is going to become a minority-majority country, which means, you know, young people, the minorities, people of color, people of different orientation would be part of this broader majority, and they would want some of the power, or they are after some of the power, and they're scared that the Republicans, which now has become the party of the white people, has become sort of, you know, afraid of losing some of these powers. And that's why, you know, if you think of it that way, that's why they want to curtail it by taking away all these rights. You know, they're after women's rights, they're after the rights of LGBTQ people, they're after the rights of people of other religion, you name it, and they are after it. They're just trying to curtail everything.
Is it all just doom and gloom? Is American life really going down this badly?
Actually, it is. You know, it all this sounds very doom and gloom. Unfortunately, this has become a reality. But if you look in contrast to the Republicans, you know, there is alternative out there. If you look in contrast to the Republicans, look at the work of the Democrats. With the slimmest of majority in Congress, they passed landmark legislation in the areas of infrastructure, in tackling climate change, and reducing prescription drug costs. You know, Joe Biden, even, you know, in a couple of months ago, he forgave substantial amounts of student debt. You know, in fact, 2 or 3 days ago, students have started applying. In the first day, some 8 million students have applied to get these student debt forgiven. So there is a huge need that, you know, the Democrats are trying to meet. And if the Democrats can keep the majority in Congress, they're promising to pass national laws to codify women's right to choose. You know, Joe Biden in a speech actually, you know, said that one more time in very clear terms. They're going to keep the, you know, codify Roe v. Wade, pass sweeping voting rights legislation, ban automatic firearms, and even do more to tackle climate change. And to me, it seems the contrast couldn't be even more. The Republicans have decided to go on this rampage and take away things from people, whereas the Democrats are trying to protect almost everything that we care and cherish and feel great about being part of this country. And so, that's why, you know, I'm so passionate about going to the South Asians. Go ahead.
Sure. What I was going to say, Shubhra, is do you have a particular message for fiscally right-leaning Southeastern diaspora to care about social issues?
Yes. You know, I will go back again to the issue of Roe v. Wade. That's a landmark issue. The question is not as much, you know, whether abortion is right or not. You know, that is an ethical question. That's a religious question. And it's important
that is a
for
crucial question.
That's a crucial question. But the question is, you know, somebody or the other will make a decision about that. The question is, who do you want to make the decision? The parent, the family, the woman, the doctor? Or do you want Donald Trump, you know, Clarence Thomas, Kevin McCarthy making laws to make that decision? So you get the make the mental picture for yourself. You know, you're making your reproductive right decision or letting or having the women make those decisions. Or do you want somebody like Donald Trump actually passing a law, or Clarence Thomas sitting on his high perch in the Supreme Court passing laws or dictating that decision?
Oh, wow.
To me, that choice is clear in stark terms, and we have an opportunity to make that true.
Right, and thanks to theyseeblue.org, who got me in touch with you. How did you get in touch with them?
Yeah, you know, I after 2016, I started doing a lot of organizing work because I believe that, you know, it is important for us to get involved. You know, sitting in the sofa and commenting about it is not enough. And we found an organization in my state of Michigan. It's called Samosa, you know, about organizing South Asians around, you know, voting for Democrats. And we came in touch with Desi Blue, which is formed in California by, you know, similar-minded people, and their goals are similar. So we became a local chapter, a Michigan chapter of Desi Blue. And Desi Blue is doing fabulous work in getting out the vote, in supporting Democratic candidates all across the country. And we have chapters in all the key states. And we welcome more and more members to join us. So please look us up on our website and please join us. You know, it's an important and crucial fight, and it is very, very urgent for all of us to get involved.
So the two organizations that you are connected with, one is called Samosa, and their website is?
Actually, we are more on Facebook, so we don't have a website, but we are connected to the Desi Blue's website.
Awesome. Well, we are about the time where we need to finish it off, so I'm going to give you a chance to have final words.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks again, you know, for hosting me. As a final reminder to people, I would say that the Democratic Party is a big tent party. People of all races, religion, colors, cultures, and ideas can find a home in this party. I urge everyone to vote for all Democrats up and down the ballot. And finally, it's very important, you know, we always pay attention to the top of the ticket, but in many states, we have nonpartisan sections of the ballot, which include election for judges, school board races, and ballot measures. These are very, very important because these directly affect our local lives. So it is very important for you to do some homework and about these issues and the candidates, and make sure you use your vote wisely. And please vote.
Yes, and most importantly, go and vote. Hey, thank you, Shuvra. You've been a really, really good person to talk to, an artist, photographer, a poet, and a professor of engineering. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and talking to Radio Dell.
Thank you very much, Nimesh, and thank you for hosting me. I really enjoyed this exchange.
Thank
Have
you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.